morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Cornerstone Baptist Church. If you're home in your living room, hope you have your Bible with you. We're in Romans chapter 8, part number 3 of Powerful Living. And I just want to remind you, next Sunday, Dennis Swanberg's going to be with us. You're going to love hearing him. He's a great guy, friend of mine that I've gotten to know over the years. Very funny. I don't know about you. Every now and then, I like to laugh. In fact, I like to laugh a lot. And this will be a good opportunity to sit back and hear some truth from God's word from a guy that is a very good communicator, funny individual that God is absolutely using all across the country. And he will be here with us. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 27. I'm going to start in verse 18. We were there last week, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. I pray that you'd help us to understand it. We thank you for the creation. We thank you for the life that you've called us to do. And there's no question, there is some suffering going on. We see it. But in that suffering, we know that your hand is there. We know that you are guiding us. We know that you are still in control. And I pray that you would use our lives as vessels to accomplish your will. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Our passage talks about things that you look forward to. Number one, it talks about the creation that we will speak of. But also, it talks about the things that we look forward to of God's redemption, rescuing us from the sinful world. Everybody's got a list of different things they're looking forward to. Church. For me, I'm looking forward to seeing Dennis in another week. A good movie. I like watching movies with my wife. I love sitting on the couch, being together with her, watching, even if it's a chick flick. I enjoy the time with her. Obviously, some folks look forward to their work, their accomplishments, maybe it's graduation, whatever it is. We all have things that we look forward to. And the Bible says in our text this morning that the creation is looking forward to the redemption of taking the way of the pain that it is experiencing. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. And we read that text, and I'll read it to you in the Living Bible because I like the way it's paraphrased there. For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for the future day when God will resurrect his children. For on that day, thorns and thistles, sin, death, and decay, things that overcame the world against its will at God's command, will all disappear, and the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin. Oh boy, that'll be good. Which God's children will enjoy. For we know that even the things of nature, like animals and plants, suffer in sickness and death as they await this great event. No question, even creation, even deer, squirrels. It's not my driving, but I've run over a squirrel or two from time to time. That's not my driving. That's a result of sin. You go out, runs out in the world. I don't know about squirrels. They seem to be the paralysis by analysis. They'll run out in the middle of the road, and then they look that way, and then they look that way, and then they look that way, and the next thing you know, thud, thud, they're gone. It happens. That's the part of the ridiculousness of the groaning of creation. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I want you to know that God created what we see. That's part of the battle. The sin in the world is the lies that the world will teach us. And I got a paper the other day that someone sent me on the internet, excuse me, I got to get a drink, that showed, illustrated, I thought, very well the process of evolution. What would you say to a friend who showed you a silver pocket watch and explained that all the parts simply formed naturally as a result of random accidental events? Let's say he believed that silver ore deep in the ground smelted by itself as a meteor hit the earth thousands of years ago, forming the round, hollow, sterling silver case. Heat from a volcano randomly transformed nearby sand into glass of the right shape, thickness, and color to function as a clear crystal over the watch's hands. All of the internal gears formed accidentally, too, as did the mainspring, the chain, the numbers on the watch face, and the inscription of the back. Random forces of wind and rain and the spinning of the earth worked together to wind the watch and get it running. Could any sane person offer this explanation to the origins of a pocket watch and be taken seriously? The article goes on, and then it says, all of this is especially true when you realize that even the simplest cell, the smallest garden slug, or the most ordinary tadpole is infinitely more complicated than the fanciest pocket watch. I want you to know you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God created. There is a creation. It is not evolution. There is the laws of thermodynamics, the first and second law. One says that the amount of energy that is there right now is the same that's always been there. The other law says that we don't get better with age, we get worse with age. Decay takes place. You can easily see that by just looking in the mirror, no offense. Some things I struggle with myself when I look, who is that old guy looking there? What happened to him? It's called life. It's called decay. So here we are in a decaying world. Nature is hurting. God's creation is not what he intended. What is taking place? Well, number one, obviously we have the creation in action. And in verse, because the creature itself is delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And so, quite frankly, so do you and I. Groan in pain. Not only that, is the creation in action, there are saints in action. Verse number 23, and not only they, the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Do you ever groan when you get out of bed? How is that if you were younger? I'm 58. Okay, I say I'm 60, sometimes I say I'm 75, depending on how I'm feeling at the time. Do you notice that you got any more pains than you ever used to have? Just asking. There's some groaning going on, but what this passage is talking about isn't so much the physical groans, it's the spiritual groans. It's the hurting of life. And in this battle that we call life, what we read in the news, the struggles that are going on in America today, I think, are different than possibly we've seen since the times of the Civil War in the 1860s. It's been a long time since we've struggled like we have now. But the fact is, they are struggles. There is trials in life. Perhaps you're struggling and wondering why it is that we're the way we are and what is experiencing it. You're sitting at home because you don't dare to get out. I understand all of those things. But I want you to know that God has not abandoned you. You are not alone. He is empowering you to do the things that he has for you. Because the Bible says that in verse 23, not only they ourselves, but we also have the first fruit of the spirits, even as we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. While we're waiting, we're not sitting on the couch. We are busy serving the Lord. There are saints in actions. Number one, first fruit is we have salvation. when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. We invite Him into our heart. Trust Him. Ask Him to forgive our sins. The Bible says when that happens, His Holy Spirit moves in and indwells us. And while we have the Spirit of God, the Bible says that we have the fruit of the Spirit. And with Christ's power, you and I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Do you think there's a whole lot of long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith going on in the world today? Well, there should be with Christians, and I believe that there are. I believe right now one of the things that's happening is He's purifying His church. Some of these struggles that you're going through, God's roughing up some of the rough spots. He's wanting you to surrender to His will, to start exhibiting the love and joy and peace that only He provides. I believe that's one of the things that's going on right now. The church got too fat and happy, had it too easy. He's roughing us up a little bit. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us be desirous of, not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. First fruits of the Spirit. Obviously, not only is there our salvation, there's our passion. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse number 24 says, if we are saved by hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope, but for what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But we hope for that we see not, then we have patience. Wait for it. How do you like that word patience? How's that work for you? Me, not so good. I don't like waiting for anything. I want it now. Honey, what's for supper? Well, now. Now, obviously, that doesn't help. Be careful what you demand, guys. But there are things that the Bible says that we are supposed to be hoping for, waiting for. In life, there's some patience that needs to be exercised. There was a day when we hoped for a building that we are in now. We didn't have it. We hoped for it. Now we have it. No, we're longer hoping for that. But I like the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Our passions and hope we wait for. I'm hoping for a home in heaven. Haven't seen it, but John chapter 14 tells me it's there. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He promised me He's doing that. We believe that He's there doing that. And He said He will come again. And I'm hoping to see His return. Those are the hopes that you and I have in Christ that the world can't understand. And obviously in patience, we're supposed to wait for Him. So in patience, what are we supposed to do while we're waiting? Well, you're not just sitting on the couch complaining. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says we're supposed to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Question, while we're giving thanks for all things, have you thanked God for COVID lately? I want you to know I have not. It hasn't even crossed my mind. But we are supposed to be thankful for every situation, recognizing that it's God's plan for our life and He's using it. I'll leave it at that because those things are very convicting to me. Our patience, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we've got the creation in action is groaning. We've got saints in action. We need to stay busy. And we've got God in action. What is the Lord doing for us? And this is an incredible passage to me. In the book of John, the Bible, there's a passage where it clearly says that the Lord prayed for us as He prays for the disciples. And He said, I pray not for them only, but also that we'll hear the gospel through their word. That's you and I. You and I have heard the gospel through the word of the disciples, the generations onward, to a point where now you and I know Christ because of someone. And the Lord prayed for us that we would and we have. That's not the only place the Bible says that the Spirit prays for us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray, For as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Did you ever have an experience in life where you didn't even know what to say? You thought, Lord, what is going on? This week someone informed me about a crisis going on with a four-year-old child. I don't know all the details, don't know the particular situation, but what do you say about a four-year-old? What do you say about a newborn that didn't work out the way you thought it was going to, and now you have this child and you're wondering what the future holds? What do you say about someone that the doctor says that they've got just a few weeks to live? Sometimes, Christian, there are no words. We don't know what to say, but we look to the Lord and we say, what are we supposed to say? What are we supposed to do? The Bible says when we don't know what to do, the Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, with words that can't even be understood, but God knows your heart. God in action, His Spirit in you, providing us comfort and hope in situations that look absolutely hopeless. In America today, boy, there's not too many situations where we look at that are hopeless. We've got so many resources, so many things going on in life, so many opportunities for us. But I'll tell you, there are parts of the world. You talk to some missionaries who've been to Haiti lately. There are things going on where there's just, it seems so hopeless. But with God, there is no chance that there is no hope. How great is that? And I want you to know that whatever you're facing, God will give you the power you need to succeed in it and use your life because of it. That's all we can hope for. That's all we know to be true. And that's all that really matters in this life because it's so short. But once we're done here, we hope to see Him, Jesus Christ, face to face. And as the song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow He'll erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. I want you to know that God will allow you to have a powerful life for Him if you'll just follow Him and believe Him. Yeah, there's some groaning going on, but trust me, He's got this, and He wants to use you to do it. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word, for Your goodness, for the teachings in it. God, I pray people would just leave their Bibles open to Romans chapter 8, read it for themselves, see the promises that You have for us, and recognize that You are in control. And next time we meet together, we'll talk about how all things work together for good to them that love God. God, I pray that every one of us love You and want our lives to be used by You. I pray that every person hearing me has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, control my life, use me for Your honor and glory. Thank You for Your time, for our time, in Your word. In Jesus' name.